Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place where American patriots come together as one united people, one nation under God. My name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in today, and thank you for joining us for a special edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. And I'm going to hand the show over to them in just a minute. They are going to host the show. But I have one quick message I wanted to kind of share with everybody before I sign it over to them. As many of you know, there's all sorts of things going on with what they call immigration reform. And today was the first time I've ever done this, but I'm going to be doing it more and more often, is I sent out two American Statesman's Awards for Jeff Sessions and Chuck Grassley. I've been listening to the immigration hearings, meetings, whatever you want to call their committee sessions they've been having about trying to fix this bill so it actually supports the American people instead of all the illegals. And they have been out there doing their best for us, but they get shut down, as you can probably guess, by the likes of the progressive liberals on the other side. And it's been insulting to actually listen to some of this stuff. But the main thing is we need to recognize those that truly are statesmen who truly believe in the Constitution, and we need to thank them for speaking up for us. So I actually sent them each an award, an American Statesman Award, thanking them for honoring their oath of office, thanking them for enforcing the Constitution and supporting the American people. And if you get a chance, please call their office or drop them an email or something and say thank you for actually trying to enforce the rule of law like we're supposed to have on immigration, even though the likes of Marco Rubio and company don't want that to happen. On that note, I'm going to hand this over to Karen and John, and you guys have a great show.
Thank you so much, Sally. John and I really appreciate it. And hi, everyone. This is Karen Schoen and John Estabrook, and you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please join us and join in and participate. And John, I believe, is on a rig today, aren't you, John?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly am. I am about 110 miles offshore in the Gulf of Mexico, and glad to be here, glad to be working.
Yes, we are glad you are working, especially with what is going on with the weather and the devastation that that is bringing to our country, and our hearts go out to all the people in Moore, Oklahoma. We pray that you are that you find more survivors and that you are able to recoup on your damages and whatever we can all do to support you. Folks, if you're going to make a donation, make it to Mercury on Glendex, The Blaze. We know that this is an organization that gives 100% of their funds to the victims. So you don't have to go through red tape. You don't have to make any question marks on where the money is going with Mercury. It goes 100% to the people. And that is what we would recommend. So sad, John. It's really horrifying.
Well, you know, I'm an Oklahoma boy, and my son, actually, the school where the young children have lost their lives, and it is a tragedy, and we pray for those people. My son actually attended that grade school, and yesterday was a on-edge day for me because that's primarily where my family is, in and around the Oklahoma City area and all over spread across Oklahoma. And Oklahomans are a very resilient people, and tornadoes and living in Tornado Alley, there's a lot of stories that I can really, you know, share with folks, but the bottom line is it's tragic, and yes, they are our brothers and sisters, and we pray to the God Most High, you know, that they will receive a healing, and let's do whatever's necessary to support them in their time of need. This is not a government issue. This is a personal issue, and it's we the people. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Oklahoma and give them whatever they require to restore their lives.
Yes. You know something, the really sad part of all of this, John, is that our government really knows what's going on with the weather. And next week we're going to have on John Casey, not next week, the week after we're going to have on John Casey, and he's going to tell us also. But folks, the weather, through no fault of man, none at all. Man has nothing to do with this. It doesn't matter if we never breathed again and we never exhumed and we never exhaled any CO2. It wouldn't make one bit of difference because the sun controls our weather. And the sun is going into hibernation, and as a result of that, our weather patterns are going to be on the colder side and become more and more extreme, because as things get cold, they contract. When things contract, they move. When things move, they create exactly what has happened with the tornado. Now, the bad news is we don't know exactly what we're facing, but the good news is we should be able to look back in history and at least become prepared. And that's the part that I have the biggest problem with our government, because while they are trying to steal from us and to have us believe that we are in control, humans are in control of the weather so that they can tax us, they are guiding us into the absolute wrong weather pattern for a variety of reasons, most of which I believe has to do with their lack of compassion for human beings. They do not care about people. Remember Agenda 21, the ultimate goal is the depopulation of the planet. So if people get caught in these extreme weather events because the government is not telling the truth, oh my goodness, too bad on them. Remember their mentor, Joseph Stalin, and what he said, the death of one is a tragedy, the death of many is a statistic, and that's what these people think. So it is up to us to be prepared, because we will be facing more and more extreme weather events, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, I mean, Karen, we can, because that, you know, that's what this radio show is all about, folks. We only hope to share with you the truth. And right now, your government and people that are internationalist and globalist in their view are perpetrating a fraud of global warming, and it's meant to absolutely destroy the industrialized nations like the United States of America, and we are their primary target, and it's tyranny against your wealth to buy into the lie that global warming is taking place, when we have scientists that have attempted to share their truth and to confound all of the false data with realistic facts that our planet is cooling, and that the sun is in this dormant stage. And we are, by allowing the perpetration and the fraud to continue, then we're accepting it, and we're not going to accept it. We're going to scream. We're going to shout. It's just like the immigration issue that Sally was speaking to. Immigration,
yes,
and this legal flooding of the borders is an international plan to do away with sovereignty of nations. That's a design that is, you know, everywhere across the globe. You know, when you look at Europe is being flooded by illegal immigrants, and they're typically Muslims and Arabs by design. America's being flooded from both borders, but typically our southern border is being overrun by design, because no one wants a sovereign border. And if we don't stand up as Americans, demand our legislators, our senators, our congressmen, no, we will not accept an open border policy. America is a sovereign, free land, an independent nation from the global design, because that's what this, everything is all linked, it's all attached. Globalism means that, well, there is no America. American resources don't belong to America. America must supply the rest of the world with her resources. Folks, not the design that we were given as a free people. And we have to stand and shout the truth. Now, you know, we may be conquered, and that's exactly, I think, the hope of the people that divide us, is a divided nation will fall. When you have people that buy into the myth and the fraud, versus the people that stand up and tell the truth and share the truth with you. You have to support the truth tellers. You have to do the work yourself, and it's all easily done. Do the work, stand firm, and share the truth. Always share the truth.
Absolutely. And you know, John, those of us that have studied Agenda 21 and some of our new listeners that don't know anything about Agenda 21, in a brief description of Agenda 21, and please visit our website, agenda21today.com. Agenda 21 is the plan. It is being implemented by groups. They are called non-government organizations that are funded by American tax dollars, and they are carrying, as John said, lies as they are trying to integrate three major areas: equity, the economy, and the environment. And what they are attempting to do is to insist that the American people accept less but do more. And the reason for that is, folks, is because America as a landmass is an anomaly, because America has everything on it, in its borders, to support and sustain the people of America without ever having to go outside our borders. We have everything here. We have land for growing. We have usually a pretty decent climate. We have fresh water. We have minerals. We have oil. We have natural gas. We have everything that is necessary for people to sustain themselves. Other countries do not have that, and their focus is on America. Why? Because America is owned by we, the people. When it says government land, that government land is American-owned by American people. And until we start recognizing that and do the things that are necessary to make sure that government land is used for the American people, we're going to be on the losing side. And that's what this crowd is interested in. They want to have Americans feel that you're not blessed, that you're not special, that you don't have the ability to own land, what's above it and what's below it, and that everything that you do should be something that is given to you as a result of some government program. So this crowd is focused on, we're the government, we're going to tell you what to do, we're going to allow you to do whatever it is that we want to allow you to do. In the meantime, we're going to monitor you and control you. That's all they care about. This plan that they have is not about disease, a disease-free world. It's not about getting rid of poverty. It's not about getting rid of hunger. It's not about education. What it is about is, how do we control the people so that we few elitists at the top can make the rewards and live in the lifestyle to which we would want to continue to be accustomed to, while the rest of the world works for us. And this is what the training is, this is what the conversation is, and this is what we are, John and I, are working our hardest to educate people, so that when you see these plans and when you see their words and when you listen to what they say, you have the ability to say, wait a minute, that's not true. Wait a minute, that's a lie. Wait a minute, where is that coming from? Wait a minute, there's no scientific evidence to support that. These are the tools that we are providing you today, so that when you go to the meetings, which you must go to, you must go to your council meetings, you must go to your school board meetings, you must participate in planning meetings, but go as an informed citizen of your community, because nothing is worse to these presenters than a person coming with information and truth, because they're not telling it, and it's your job to make sure that it's heard. It's your job to make sure that your friends and neighbors and commissioners and councilmen all understand what the truth is. John, one Bay Area in San Francisco is suing, and this is Rosa Corey and Heather and Michael Shaw. They are suing the 1A Commission for lying to the people and trying to destroy the San Francisco Bay Area. It's what a wonderful thing to be starting so that others will be able to follow. And today I got a call from some people in Taylor County, and they said they've had enough with their commissioners as well. Their job is to get the truth out, and if necessary, they're going to go after them as well. And this is fabulous, John, because our message is getting out to people. Learn the truth.
Yeah, and we do have still legal recourse, and we have to know where that falls. In many cases, are being decided in the people's favor. You get a lot of pushback from local governments and even some patriot folks that, oh, well, when we sue the local government, we take on the local government, we all lose because it's our funding, it's our money. These lawsuits are to have a decision handed down because, you know, we're not operating and our courts and our justice system has been, shaped to confuse and to perpetrate lies and fraud on people because they go by case law rather than what is natural law. We have private property rights that are guaranteed to us. Folks, you're going to—I'm sure you're hearing a bell in the background, and that noise, I'm on a rig, and that's an announcement that's going to take place, and I apologize for it, but it's necessary for me to be out here while I'm working.
Well,
but anyway.
Industry at work, and that's wonderful. It's fabulous to
Yes,
hear.
Ma'am, sure is. Yeah,
industry
and,
working.
And it's neat that we can talk to each other out here across this big ship.
I know, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing that John is in the middle of the Gulf, and here we are hearing, it is so incredible. You know, when things are used for good, it gives everybody an uplifting feeling. And when things are used for bad, it gives everybody depression. And we have to start looking and doing things to be used for good because the other side, I've been going around, I've been traveling around in South Florida for the last 3 weeks. John, I have met incredible, wonderful people. Last week, I couldn't be on the radio with you because I was at an ACT, that's ACT, ACT for America in Melbourne. And I met a wonderful group of people who are dedicated to exposing the Muslim influence in America. And I met a gentleman who was a Coptic Christian, and then he invited me to his church. I went to his church. I spoke in front of the people. This was in West Palm Beach. What a phenomenal group of people. And one woman, I don't think I'll ever forget this, the impression that she made on me. She came over to me and she took my hand and she said, "You have no idea what's going on in Egypt." She said, "I was visited by the government with a knock on my door and they told me I have three choices. I can become a Muslim, I can pay a tax, or I can give up everything to the government and they will kill me." And she said, when her family heard that, they knew that they had to leave. And this was not recent. This was a long time ago. This was about 10 years ago. And she said, people don't realize today that this is exactly what's happening again. So here we did. We spent all of the last 10 years getting rid of this, and now here we are faced with this again. And she said, they are destroying the Christian churches, and they are pulling the people out of their homes and out of their businesses, taking the children, selling them into slavery, and this group is dedicated to getting as many Coptic Christians out of Egypt as possible. What a sad thing
to
do.
Well, and I don't care how they do it, Karen. I mean, there's been some awfully gruesome, if you can get into the European press, it has more coverage in Europe than what it does in our dumbed down media, but when you can see the gruesomeness of what's happening to Coptic Christians, it's shocking, and I think that it's also telling because, you know, we live in a nation right now that anyone with any logical thinking knows that morality is on the decline and has been on the decline. We know that now we have government agencies that are destroying our Christian values, that want to confront Christian values, you know, abortion. Well, we've been living under the removal of God and prayer from our public square. So when will it come to be, and is it possible in America? And I say yes. We have the same possibility that these Coptic Christians in Egypt are facing, and it could possibly take place in the USA. And how do we stop it? What's the solution? And the solution is to stand by Christian moral background and root out any efforts to do away with Christian morality in this country have got to be stopped by Christian citizens. We cannot rely on the government to stop it. We are the government. It is our action. It's our lawsuits. It's our standing up and saying no more. Today is the last day that I will accept attacks on my belief, on my core as a human. And we are. This is the absolute battle of good over evil. When we look at the UN agenda and the Earth Charter and the fact that these people, these globalists by design, choose to have everyone in the world believe that the environment is more important than humanity. Now, sometimes I laugh and I giggle because it is hilarious to ask a human to accept, look, we need for you to perish so that the snail darter fish can survive. Wait a while, I want my vote.
No, it is absolutely, it's ludicrous. But the important thing, John, is what you said. We have to reach out. We have a tendency, a lot of us, to talk to ourselves, and we don't go out into the community of our friends and neighbors. Folks, they have been taught. And when I went and I spoke, one of the people came over and she said, "You're not a monster." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "We're told that the Tea Party people and the people who are speaking out against the government are also speaking out against us, and that they hate us and that they don't want to have anything to do with us." And I said, "I'm here, and I represent a large group of people who does not feel that way. We have to go into their communities, folks, because they're not going to come to us. They're afraid of us. So it's our turn to take that olive branch and to go reach across into communities that we know are experiencing from propaganda lies about who we are and how we feel about them. The other thing I did this past weekend, John, I went to a Tea Party meeting, and a young man was there. His name is Maurice Minetti. He is a black man who has a radio station and a lot of media sources in Miami. And he has a party on Saturday. And he said that he's been having this party for the last year, and he keeps on going to tea parties, and he keeps on inviting them, and nobody's showing up. And I said, "Fine, I'll go. I'm coming, and I'll bring some of my friends." And when I got there, the reception that I got was overwhelming, John. I could not believe how wonderful these people were, how much they appreciated the fact that we came there and wanted to talk. And when I was sitting in the audience and I was looking at the stage and watching the performance, one of the men leaned over to me and he said, "Do you see those young men on the stage performing?" And they were rappers, you know, and there was a fashion show, and they did all of these great things. And he said, "They are all conservative, and nobody talks to them." And it was a bucket of cold water. And I said, "You don't have to worry about that anymore. We're going to spread the word." And he said, "What can we do to get some of the Tea Party leaders to communicate with the black conservative leaders?" He said, "The mistake that's being made is that you think you have to go into the the ghetto people, and he said the ghetto people are on the government's dole. They don't get it. He said, the people that you want to talk to are the leaders of the conservative groups in the black communities, because they will go into the ghetto and they will carry the message. People came over to us, thanked us for coming. It was incredible, John. What an upbeat, uplifting experience to have. And I invited him tonight to come to a Tea Party meeting where I'm going to be speaking. We have to reach across the aisle. We must start talking to our friends and neighbors, because the misinformation, the lies that have gone out about who we are, who the Tea Parties are, who the 912s are, who the freedom-loving, plain old just Americans are, was amazing. They are being told absolute incredible lies, and the only way to stop it is to be a message carrier of the truth. And we can stop it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Karen, that's you know, and you just, I mean, how powerful is that? And I spoke last week on the show with Karen and Angela of the People LLC, and that's one of the things I shared with them, you know, that we have to do that. And I'm not seeing a large movement inside Louisiana from the Patriot groups to make those efforts. And I know, you know, from I work in on a drill ship that has 150 men typically on average out here on a daily basis, and we're from all races, creeds, but the one thing we all are is we're workers, we're Americans typically. I mean, there are a lot of foreign people here, and I get the, you know, so I get to see a diverse group of men on a daily basis, but everyone is willing to listen the truth. If you share one thing as an American, share truth. Share your American truth and stop the lies. Be willing to walk. And that's what I told, you know, I guess a couple of weeks back when you and I were on together and you made your commitment to go and meet five people and to share the truth with five people. And I said, well, that's a great deal, and we've taken that on, and I make that effort, you know. Well, here's a guy that I haven't ever spoke to, and just, we are all humans. We have a commonality. If we live in America and we're an American citizen, then we're all Americans. First and foremost, we have to get back to that and share our truths and be willing to reach your hand out, because this nation is being destroyed by division, and the only thing that will turn back division is unity. Unify under a common message: the salvation of the American economy, the salvation of the American people. You know, our people are being destroyed. Lives are being destroyed. When you have a family where a worker is displaced or it cannot find work in his field, I can't imagine what that must be like, to be an adult male with a wife and children and not be able to find work and just be getting by and having to rely on government. That's not who we are as a people. It's destructive to the American way, to the American dream, the vision. And we are confronting not an American vision and an American dream. We're confronting a global mission that is out to destroy us, to do away with our private property, to do away with our sovereignty as a people, our religion, our Christian belief, that we can reach out and trust each other and we can speak across any party line. We speak an American line, and unity is what's required. And it's powerful that you're doing that, Karen. I can't imagine how great that must feel. And not only for you, but for the black men of a conservative nature, when they hear the message that, look, we're all in this together. We get it, you know. And we don't need the parties to do that for us.
We have to do it
as citizens.
That's right. We need people power, not party power. And that was what my message was on Sunday night. I told them that they need to do the things that we were told not to do, like speak politics and religion and run for office and get involved. And two people came up to me when I was done and when I was getting ready to leave, And one man said, I listened to what you said and I made my decision. I'm going to run for office. My God, folks, that
fantastic.
Is incredible. That is absolutely incredible to have somebody come up and say, I'm going to take that commitment. I'm going to take that plunge. I know what to do. And then he asked if we would help him and helped him. And I said, we are issue-based. We will explain and help you understand the issues, and what you do with them is going to be up to you. And it was just a wonderful experience to know that there is a group of people out there. There are many groups of people out there. We have to reach out to them. They are not going to come to us, and that's very important. So rallies are wonderful. Today there are two of them, one in Florida by Marco Rubio's office about the immigration, and the other, of course, with regard to the IRS. Rallies are great, but the problem with rallies, for the most part, is that it's still the same people. We have to get out of our comfort zone, get off that couch, shut down that TV, pick up a piece of paper, write or take a newspaper article, and start walking around our neighborhoods and talking to our friends and neighbors so that we can learn what's going on in our government and how it affects us individually, because everything that's going on affects all of us individually. And the most dangerous piece that I feel, John, is what's going on in the schools. The way that they are manipulating the children in the schools to get what they want. And by they, let's put the words on they. These are the UN elite who are heavy-duty progressives. And remember, the progressives believe in communism, socialism, Marxism, government control of every aspect of humanity. And they are following Agenda 21, and they are teaching this to our children. And this is the frightening part, because we have already lost a generation. Actually, I think we've lost three generations of kids we have lost. And why has that happened? That has happened because we have not been paying attention to what's going on in our schools. We pay attention to the diversions. And by diversions, I mean things like school choice, class size, how many lunches and breakfasts, the social programs that are going on in the school. None of these things help a child learn. None of the programs that are in the schools will help a child learn. And we have to pay an absolute strict attention to what is going on in our schools if we're going to become successful at all in our country. Because a country that does not get what's going on in school, and if we allow this to continue, we won't have a country left, because they are certainly not teaching anything about America.
No.
Hey,
no, and Karen, I mean, it's...
Oh, 1 minute. Is Charlotte there?
Yeah. I just want to make sure that I was calling correctly. I didn't know.
Our lead-in, folks, we have with us the best source of information in our country to understand what is going on in our schools. I am so proud to have on our show tonight Charlotte Iserby. Charlotte, thank you for joining us. And before you do, I just want to say that everyone is listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State talkradio.com. Just look for the tab of American Freedom Watch Radio. And today we have as our special guest Ms. Charlotte Iserby, who was the senior policy analyst under the Reagan administration. Her website is deliberatedumbingdown.com. Her book is incredible. If you haven't purchased it, you must. She gave it as a free download. It's Deliberate Dumbing Down. learn about what's going on in the education of our country. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining John and I today.
Well, thank you, Karen. And let me know, how long do I have? I didn't ask you that because I wanted to...
Well, we are on the air until 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So, my goodness. All right, fine.
So you tell us when you've had enough because I can listen to you forever.
Well, I think that, first of all, I want to thank everybody down in Florida and Georgia and Tennessee. I do feel that the greatest work... I guess Utah, too. I don't want to leave this top, but a lot of good work is being done. Excellent work on the Common Core, which I call the Communist Core, right? There's no question about that. And everybody really ought to call it that because they were foolish to even give themselves that title, Common Core, for fear that that might happen to it, right? But then, of course, they're fearless, huh? And they do whatever they want. That's exactly what it is, and I've traced it, and it started, you know, and it started the early part of the last century with the education, even before that, going back to, you know, Leipzig, Germany, and studying under Wilhelm Wundt and bringing back the Skinner method, which, unfortunately, a lot of our young people, or a lot of our researchers think is okay, direct instruction is okay. They don't know. I don't know how many decades of my screaming and yelling about this will ever work to get through to them that it isn't okay. But anyway, so that method. The method is going in right now across the board because there is nothing to use with a computer. That's a good way of putting it, right? There
right.
is no method other than Skinner to put onto the software. For individualized.
You know what, Charlotte, would you explain to some of our listeners who are new and don't may not quite understand the Skinner approach?
Yeah, I will. It's very easy. Most of your listeners have dogs, probably, right?
I would say
have a dog,
or some pets.
Let's use, yeah, well, cats really aren't that good at this, but most animals will respond, you know. I mean, if you, it's what you call, it's very, very simple. Stimulus response So if you want your dog to sit, you get a dog biscuit. He's not going to sit the first time, but you give him, you say sit, and you give him a dog biscuit. He's very smart. Next time he sees you take the biscuit out of the box, he might sit. It's that simple. It's a neurological reaction. It has nothing to do with the brain. Zero. That's why education on the computer, individualized education. Each child has his own individualized plan. No grades, no K through 12, no A, B, C, D, E, F. Graduated.
Are we having technical difficulties?
No, it may be.
Charlotte,
hello?
I think we may
it
have
looks
lost
like,
Charlotte.
Looks like her line got dropped. I'm not sure whether something was wrong on her side or what.
Okay.
Hopefully she realizes that she isn't there. She should be talking to herself.
Took a minute.
Okay. I'm going to see if I can figure out how to get her back. So, let's see. Well, she has not called back yet. Let's see what we can do here.
Well, it would be a shame to lose her. And she has such a vast amount of information and knowledge on education that she may be still talking and not even realize she's dropped us off.
That has happened before.
Well, sure.
Okay, looks like she's back, and now looks like Karen may have been trying to get a hold of her. So let me get her back on here. Hey, Charlotte,
oh,
you there?
Hello, Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
so anyway,
dear.
Maybe I'll start over on that. What?
Yeah, we were going. You were telling us about the Skinner method, and we wanted just to make sure that our listeners are clear what that entails.
It's so simple. You know, I'm sure they hear words like operant conditioning and reflex, all this stuff, and they just, you know, they run away. They say, oh, that's for the, you know, the educators. They know all about that stuff. Well, it's more than that stuff. It's serious business, and it's just as easy to understand, really, as 1 + 1 = 2. There's no way you can miss it. I'm going to give you some examples. You go to the doctor. First of all, I want to say it's not learning. Anything you learn on the computer using software, which if it's an individualized education plan that takes the child through various steps until they learn what the change agents, the Marxists, want, that's computer-assisted instruction. And I've got all the evidence in my book from them. From the NEA, in fact, there's a grant in the NEA, a grant application, talking about how it works. How you could take someone who doesn't approve of free trade in the beginning by knowing where the student is. You can take him all the way. When you find out he likes Jack Kennedy, you find out he likes President Kennedy, tell him, oh, President Kennedy likes free trade, blah, blah. And you'll end up with, and you can do this with any subject, a student who went from opposition to free trade to support. To a computer.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, it is so very, it's very simple. You go to, because there's no thinking going on. It's constant stimulus, and you're not even thinking. You're not questioning. You can't question. You're being brought through Socratic questioning, actually. You're there on their part to the correct answer. And think in terms, what's happening is your brain isn't working. Your nervous system's working. It's like go to the doctor and he's going to check your reflexes. So he knocks your knee with a little hammer, and your knee pops up. Now you know very well you can't keep your knee from popping up. That's how dangerous it is. You can't keep yourself from accepting what they want your child to accept. Dustin Houston, I mean, this has been said over and over and over again. He was the head of World Institute for Computer Assisted Teaching. He admitted this 25 years ago. Won't it be wonderful when a child in the most remote area of the world can have the benefit of the world's finest psychologist on that software computer, and nobody can get between the child and the computer? This is how dangerous it is. And we've got many, many, many quotes like that. They're all in my book. And the new little book is at Amazon.com. The big book is, as Karen said, a free download at deliberatedumbingdown.com, and it's great because it's searchable, and you can cut and paste, and you can send these quotes, and I've got piles of them. Look in the index first. That's a lot of fun, just going through the index. And you can cut and paste and send these statements by educators themselves to your superintendent. And say, oh, really? Like down in Florida. I love the one we have from Florida, the associate commissioner or whatever. He's talking about when they were putting, way back 25 years ago, putting the computer system in. And he goes on and on. He says, you know, it's like nobody's going to know what they're doing until it's completed. It's like building the atom bomb. Yeah, I love that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because you know what, Charlotte? One of the things that you said rings really, really true. A computer is never ending. What's missing when you take away a book, when a child finishes, as a teacher, when a child finishes a chapter of a book, and then we go through the questions, and they close the book, what a feeling of accomplishment that they got for doing something and completing it.
Yeah.
People never get to complete a
task. Well, that's a good point. You know, that's very frustrating. I think that's psychologically damaging. That's a very good point. I never even thought of it that way. You know, you never get to the end of, you know, end of the brick road. And it just never happens. And but there's an appendices, and I think I sent it through to you recently. It was a paper that I it was attached to a applicant. I was in the Department of Education in the early 80s, a grant application came through from the Association for Educational Computing and Technology, and it was to get funding for a project, Better Education Skills Through Technology. And that sent, you know, computer courseware in every area of the curriculum out into every single state. That ultimately did that. But that's what I got fired for, leaking that document. I leaked that particular grant. But I don't know which reason I really was the major reason I leaked that thing. I have a feeling it was this, although I didn't like the computers either, and I hate technology in the schools. I love it. I love my own personal computer to do research. It's different. But so I saw in this grant, it was marked confidential, folks, huh? You know, as if the U.S. Department of Ed is the CIA, confidential. And then it said, what we can control and manipulate. I'm not making this up.
Oh my God.
At the state and local level. That quote's in my book. Look under Project BEST, B-E-S-T. And then it listed, and they tell us, and our good friends out there, all of these good Christian religious schools and homeschoolers and people who want to get out of the public school, they think that they can have tax-supported education and not have the very controls I'm telling you about right now, which were in black and white spelled out, what we can control and manipulate at the state and local level. Selection of task force members. Content of the curriculum. Location of the meeting. Whatever. Everything. I say, you know, we probably shouldn't spend too much time talking about Skinner, although that is, I'm going to do a little more Skinner after this, but that's the key right there. You cannot take a halfpenny of tax money from the local, state, federal, or internet level now, huh? You cannot take that without having total control. A halfpenny is going to give you just as much control of your curriculum and assessment. You take the national assessment, if you take a halfpenny, which means you have to teach to it, or $1 million, right? If you take $1 million, you're going to have no more control than if you take a halfpenny. Or you'll have no more control than if you, as a homeschooler, use the services of the public school. Sorry
wow.
to say that. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what's going to happen. Now, this happened in France in 1942, I think, under the Hitler's regime, the Vichy regime. School choice was endorsed at that time. And they put it in, and a lot of people were too happy and all, but when the war was over, I think they got at it for a little while, but then it went back in. And then it continued limping along, just not a tremendous amount of support, tax support for the Catholic schools. It's all Catholic private schools in France, of course, nothing else. And so by the time 1985 arrived with President Mitterrand, who was a full-fledged socialist, he lowered the boom, and it was all funded completely across the board, no fooling around anymore. Well, the French, you know, demonstrated in the streets, millions of them were so upset. And they did succeed in making it less evil, make it more benevolent, but not much. And by this time, I have a very good article on it. I got to get copied. It was in Phi Delta Kappa by a teacher who spent a lot of time in France talking about school choice. And she looked at the French experience. And she points to it and says, we've got to be very, very careful, because what happened in France is going to happen here.
And, yes, you are absolutely right, folks. It is very important. We get emails coming in from Europe, and I even got an email the other day from Australia. Warning, please tell the people, don't allow the feds to take over education. You don't have any idea what will happen to the people. Well, these are coming in from countries, different countries all over the world. So I tell everyone, when you get up in the morning and you're reading your emails and you're reading the stuff that's on the news, on the news sites that you go flip to the BBC news site. Go flip to Pravda. See what they're saying. Because what's going on over there is coming over here. And
well,
that's
Karen, how I noticed something, which I'll mention is sort of fun. My book, you know, The Deliver Dumbing Down, the new updated abridged version, is selling at Amazon, so I can always check, you know, who buys it. And I've noticed it's very clear about 70% of the purchases are by people either overseas or they're immigrants with a last name, has SKI on the, for instance, you know, Tarkovsky or Blotsky or whatever, you know, people who've lived under communism. They are buying my book. Now, people with a name like Smith, my own maiden name, Thompson, Jones, all of us spoiled Americans who came over in the 17th, 18th century, huh? So spoiled rotten. We don't know what it's like to live under the system that is being implemented right this minute. In fact, I think it is implemented. And I'm sorry to have to say this. I think one of the reasons why we are having so much trouble with all this magnificent research going out with people not understanding is that Americans, knowingly or not, are communists. They like the system.
And Charlotte, I'm going to tell you something, and I say that quite often. This nation has been that way for a few decades now. Yeah, and they've kept it soft, and they haven't used their jackbooted thugs to the point that we are starting to witness now. That's, you know, when people are shocked that you've got the Internal Revenue Service doing what they've done, when you've got all of the things that we see, the EPA experimenting on the use of gas on senior citizens.
Unbelievable.
And all of the things, it's unbelievable. But, you know, last week, and I'm going to share this story, because I had two ladies on that are fighting Common Core in Louisiana with great, I mean, they are staying on our legislators. But the one thing that we're clear about is the standards that have already been put in place in Louisiana before Common Core are these international standards.
Yeah.
And people, I had a young lady the other day, she was bragging about how well her children did on their LEAP test. And I said, well, could you tell me what was on the test? Did you get a copy to see what was on the test? Because I'd really like to know, what is it that your children have learned that you're so proud that they passed?
No one can get it. You're absolutely correct.
The teachers don't have it.
Sometimes I'll get, well, a few years ago, I get, you know, I do a radio interview like this, and a mom would call in and say, well, they're from some little place in Indiana, or, well, she said, Mrs. Esserby, you know, I'm really worried because our public school is really getting pretty bad ratings, you know, with the state. And I said, oh? I said, you know what? Before you jump to any conclusions, perhaps you should be happy. Perhaps you still have teachers that are resisting this performance-based teaching to the test. You
Absolutely.
May well, and they're doing this behind closed doors, and that's why your test scores aren't particularly good. Check it out. And I ask every parent to do that. It's very likely. That's why we in Maine, you know, we've been told by our governor, who's in bed with Jeb Bush and the Chiefs for Change and Heritage, the phony neocon Trotskyite Heritage. My governor, we all voted for him. Great, we thought he was a conservative because we had a real Marxist in there before who had been a congressman, had the worst left-wing voting record in the U.S. Congress, the one we had before. So then, before he was governor, then we get this new governor. And this one turns out, I think, to be worse, because he's at least, the other one let us know he was pure socialist Marxist, the first one, Baldacci, huh? Gave us all a lot of ritualism. Then comes in LePage, you know, who's meant to be the conservative. Even the conservative people across the country thought we really had a great governor. Well, he has fallen for the whole thing. He's calling for funding of religious education as well.
Schools,
like charter schools, you name it. And it's all the Jeb Bush agenda. He even had his picture taken with Jeb Bush and Governor Hunt at that meeting that they had. That's what we've got here in Maine. But I don't know why I started out saying that. I got off on my governor. He's driving this absolutely berserk. We've got here in Maine the risk program that it was so bad and so risky, you know, that they might get caught putting the Soviet system in, which is what it is. risky. It really was a risky program right out of Paris, France, the OECD. You know what that program is? I don't know if you have it in Florida. It's Marzano, the major expert in critical thinking over the past 30 years, and his tactics for thinking, critical thinking, Marxist thinking, and no grades.
No.
Folks, I'm ticking off right now components of Soviet education, a report brought back by American educators in the U.S. Office of Education in 1971, I think. Or 1960, okay? All right. No grades, which means no competition, right? Individual education.
Yeah.
Of course, Pavlov.
Mm-hmm.
Science and math, STEM.
Mm-hmm.
And no competition. Workforce training. All right.
Absolutely.
Our teaching of Darwin law. And love of the state. Okay, those are the things those guys brought back with them, right? They weren't happy.
Yeah.
Their report is in my book. It's on the internet, actually. You can look at the actual report hand scanned in there. It has pictures about it, 80 pages. That is what has been put into the schools of America. This has been the plan ever since early 1900s. I told you the educators came back with Pavlov, went into Johns Hopkins University. That was John Dewey. A whole crowd, Cattell, the order at Yale, deeply involved in bringing the Pavlovian method over. The order at Yale is connected with the Illuminati. We've got that direct connection. I unfortunately have to admit I have relatives who were members of the order at Yale, so I do know a bit about this. So that's where the method came through, the order at Yale. It's terribly important. Because that's key. We're going to lose our souls, folks. If we allow this computerized education to stand, and I don't talk about much about Common Core, because Common Core is just the same old stuff that we've had. The only difference is they put it on the computer for assessment purposes. So I don't go into the Common Core, but I'm glad people are fighting it, but I think they're missing the point. They're missing the point that we're putting.
Well, and that was one of the things Charlotte did, that both Angela and Karen have had some issues with some of the local Tea Party groups and the Patriot groups that are, really diligently and are doing great work fighting Common Core. But you can't let that be the end of it.
It's to stop this international testing
and standards.
Yeah, it's an incredible diversionary tactic. Because while all of our good people are studying this, I wish they'd been studying it the past 60 years, personally, because it's not any different than the goals that were developed as Northwest Regional Lab back in the 70s. That's in my book, that call for no content and just to change values. So what's different about what we had in the goals that went out to every state? The Northwest Regional Lab developed goals, I think 18,000 or something, that went out into every state. And basically, in my little book, Back to Basics Reform, that's a short one to read. It's a free download, actually, at deliberatedumbingdown.com. It's a PDF. You'll see the section in the book that talks about the Northwest Regional Lab goals. Now, they were funded by Carnegie, too. That's very interesting. Carnegie all the way through from the beginning, 1934.
Right.
Wow.
Wrote the plan, the little book, Conclusions and Recommendations, which is up on the internet. They wrote that little book calling to use the schools to change America from a free market system to a planned economy. Okay, so they went with that. They did the first experimentation with outcomes-based ed with Carnegie. It was called the 8-year study. I won't go into the details. You can Google it. That was OBE. And all the way through, then they paid for the national assessment. They paid for the Education Commission of the States. They were involved in the National Governors Association. They were the ones when Reagan got in. Reagan really, the whole agenda came right. The institutionalization. I hope people understand what I'm saying. Not the planning. The institutionalization of the agenda for turning our country over into a Marxist communist country. Took place under Reagan. not saying the blank. Planning took place from 1934 on, all the way through the Elementary Sector Education Act 1964, which changed education from what you know in your head to what you can do, performance-based. Teachers fought that. Okay, folks, please stop beating up on teachers. Huh.
Nice.
We would have been down the tube 20 years ago if the teachers had not been behind closed doors fighting the Skinner method. All right? So anyway,
uh-huh.
That was the goal in 1964, to change education from what you know in your head to dog training. Let's call it that. And then the assessment, using the teacher as a little psychiatrist, change values. That was recommended by Alger Hiss, buddy, back in 1945 when the UN was formed.
Uh-huh.
Teachers should become little psychiatrists. They finally got that in because teachers opposed that, too. It took them 20 years. In 1965, they got that in. Now, then we go on, and the values-destroying program. So giving a little background from 1965 on, all the values clarification, all the horrible programs, most of them were related to destruction of our children's patriotism, values, teachers' values, change agent operations. I've got all their books, everything at my son's website, too, AmericanDeception.com. These are the actual documents. You can go there. You could look. You could see what they did, especially Pace Setters, 700 pages of federal programs. Even in the back, they tell you every single state, what they got, all values changing. So they get the values changed. By 1980, Ronald Reagan gets in, having a promise to do away with the department. That's how he got elected. Yeah, I guess, I don't know whether he had an intention or not. But anyway, he gets in. He names really a Marxist Secretary of Education, T.H. Bell, the late T.H. Bell from Utah, and who had supported the U.S. Department of Education, which Reagan said he was going to get rid of. So he appoints him. Then we end up with the nation at risk, which is the Hegelian dialectic. You know, you tell everybody the test scores are bad, and they weren't yet. You tell everybody they're so bad, you need change. So then the people scream. And then you give them what they never would have supported otherwise, like what Ronald Reagan did. You give them public-private partnerships. He did that. I was a liaison with the White House on that, which means that's the most benign label is corporate fascism. That's where you have no accountability whatsoever. That's charter schools. That's no elected school boards. That's taxation without representation. Reagan did that. Reagan signed the agreements with the Soviet Union to merge the two systems. Reagan put the Skinner-Pavlov method in. He was even scheduled to go up to New York City to meet with a teacher, the major developer of the number one Skinner method program out of 1968 called the Exemplary Center for Reading Instruction. Why would the President of the United States be scheduled to meet with the head of the number one Skinnerian individualized education direct instruction mastery learning program? Why? Ask yourself. That is a very important question. So he put that in. He was school choice. That was his. I'm not kidding you. This is my office.
Office
of Educational Research and Improvement. Everything you're looking at today came out of there, including the huge technology initiative. When I was there, all the corporations, Microsoft, all the different companies came in for 1 week. You, listener, paid for them to have all these meetings about putting computers into the school, all the software and all. And at night, big fancy dinners in French restaurants in Washington, D.C., because I went to some of them. Okay? So that's the Reagan administration. Kick it off. School choice, computers, the method, and the merging of the public and private sector, and I don't know what, and globalism, okay? That, we can thank Ronald Reagan for that. Oh, it wasn't his fault, you know. He didn't know what they were doing. Yes, he did, because I wrote him, told him everything. He got a letter from me after I was dismissed, right? Nice letter, because I couldn't believe that he really knew what was going on. And I never got a reply, huh? Well, that tells you something. He didn't want anybody to know that he knew. That's why I did.
Uh-huh.
Hmm? So, so that's where all this restructuring started in 1980. Democrats, after they destroyed the values, the teachers and the kids, huh? Some are still coming through with values. Thank God. I love all of them. Hmm? All right. After that, the Democrats put their feet up. How nice. They can go out to a restaurant, you know, on the taxpayer, drink booze, have lobster, do whatever. Let the Republicans take over. Now, let me make a point here, and I think there's no difference at the top between the two parties. Everybody knows that. Now, Absolutely not. The neoconservatives are really more dangerous than the left, because the left lets you know what they're doing. They really do. It was easier to deal with them. I haven't had to deal with them for years. My enemy is the conservatives.
Right.
The neoconservatives are Trotskyites, and do your homework on Trotsky. You'll see how this happened. They came out of the Democratic Party. They're libertarian, too. Libertarians just, you know, have no problem whatsoever with doing away with government, huh? Doing away with it through school choice. Let's just get rid of our representative form of government, run it all with private councils, no voting, no nothing, like Willard Garvey of the Love Box Company in Kansas wrote a letter. He's very high up with Milton Friedman and all those people. Wrote a letter to Reagan recommending we really don't need to vote anymore, do we, because we have the computer. Folks, all of this documentation, go take a look. You can go to AmericanDeception.com and look under these three items. One is Schlafly letter, Isserbeek letter to Schlafly. And the other one is failing grades. And then there's another very important one. Well, there are a lot. Those two, just Isserbeek letter to Schlafly. And you're going to see the letter written by Willard Garvey to Ronald Reagan. You're going to see all the people involved with the neoconservative movement, the Power America, Bill Bennett, Omar Alexander, you know, all of them, you know, just get rid of school. You know, we don't need school as long as we have computers. The de-schooling of America. Well, you know, I never thought after writing a 750-page book on what I consider to be the problems in American education, which had had the most wonderful system in the world. I lived overseas for years, and I knew we did, because we educated everybody, not just the elite. How can Charlotte, who spent that time doing this book, be coming out and saying, stop, save the public schools? Because the public school, saving the public school, and we can restore it, I believe we can. I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be a lot harder to restore our representative form of government through charter schools and their unelected boards when people have allowed that to happen. They're going to no problem with saying, we don't need an elected selectman anymore. Why do we need state representatives? They just do everything wrong anyway. And really, why do we even need Congress? We would be doing exactly what Garvey recommended to Reagan. Get rid of our elected form of government. Now, let me ask you something. The only important thing that we have to face today, I'm talking about, can you imagine me writing after all these years in education saying, bring the public school back in the proper form? Okay. Now,
well, I mean, that's what has to happen.
That is a lot easier than letting our free representative form of government go down the tubes with no right to vote. Because why? What does that equal? That means that you will not be able to vote against Common Core, which you're focusing on totally now, because that's a distraction. You will not be able to vote to hold on to your guns. You will not be able to vote against abortion. If you allow charter schools to be implemented, it's the second largest money sector, tax-funded sector in our country after defense, okay? If you allow the largest, highest-funded sector of our economy to be run by unelected councils, Soviet system, do you really believe that the American people aren't going to say, oh, gee whiz, let's let everything go?
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're going to be taught that.
What's that?
You know what? I wanted to relay something to the listeners because it has to be said, and I totally agree with Charlotte. I think the core of this has been implemented in our elementary education since 1964-65, and so we have a generation now of mothers who have their children in school who were indoctrinated themselves. And when we look at the Tea Party movement, the Patriot movement, and we look around and we say, well, where are the 20-year-olds? Where are the 30-year-olds? Where are the people, you know, in their mid-30s that this is affecting, that education, this indoctrination is being done on their children? Where are they with the outrage? And the fact is they have been indoctrinated themselves so that they don't have, you know, they've got this huge tolerance, you know, and they think, well, it's the government knows best, and they do not, and they have no energy behind a free market economy because they don't know what it looks like. They've never lived in it. Well, and so now they're having their little children indoctrinated to even a bigger, you know, I mean, we've surpassed the goals of these communists because that generation has already graduated. They're through school, and now they have their children to complete the task on. And that's what all this is about. Common Core is just the completion. You know, it's been done. It's just this is when we get this by 2014, we will have it completed. Folks, you better wake up. If we wake up, if we don't stand up now, we've lost it.
Well, the point is, though, that we've got to focus on, I mean, Common Core is important, but as I said, it's not. It's no different from, I mean, look, I can go back to the 70s. Some of the goals and objectives were so shocking that somebody said to me the other day, I mentioned the sex education, right, in 1976.
Right.
Where one of the objectives was for eighth graders was, and we think it's bad now, was he said no to three types of sexual intercourse, including with animals. And this person on the radio just almost died. Said what? In 1976, I said yes. You know what? And if this helps you understand that this curriculum called Common Core is not new, then nothing else will. And you should have seen all the things to do with UNESCO and the UN and all that. By the way, I just want to mention this. Anything out of UNESCO, which is Common Core, of course, but it's been called assessments, it's been called everything under the sun, but UNESCO in 1971, they had 20 advisors, education advisors, and 19 of them came from communist Eastern Europe or the Soviet Union. That helps people understand. And how is it likely that anything that we're taking from UNESCO, and we're taking everything we have to, would be anything other than communist?
Oh, you're right. And folks, the reason
which 20 of them was from France, but he probably wasn't communist, but he wasn't listed as one.
Wouldn't you say that the reason that the big push for all of the technology, to me, is so that the parents have no knowledge or ability to learn or understand what the kids are learning.
Well, that's just like what I just said. Nobody can get between the child and the computer. That was just
exactly. And I was looking at one of the lessons, folks, and they play with words, and you have to be really on top of that because one of the lessons, and this was going out to a six-year-old, and it said, when mommy tells you to do something in at home, and when mommy asks you to do something, is she nagging you or is she asking you? And the correct answer was nagging you.
Think about the psychology of the words that they're using. Now, Anita went after this in 1980. She went up against the Pennsylvania Department of Education, marvelous researcher. In fact, she's so brilliant on assessments and computer story, all that stuff, collecting, that she was invited by Stanford University to go out and speak. A lot of people think our researchers, oh, they're just moms who aren't smart. Well, she went up against the Pennsylvania Department of Education over something exactly like you were just talking about, okay? And no right, no wrong, and this was the national assessment. We now call it Communist Core, the national assessment. This was in 1980. Her son had written down some questions on his wrist with his pen. Good boy. And she just went berserk. And she went after the Department of Education under the Federal Protection of People Rights Amendment, which we had finally gotten regulations for. And she won. She did win. But I think what they did is they never got it. As I say, look, you could win with Common Core. I was in the middle of an article talking about this. You can win, but they'll just have another card in their pocket that they'll bring out and they'll put it in. So don't spend all that time, just like with Anita's case. They changed the name of the test.
That's right.
Smart, huh?
That's right. That's what they did.
From the EQA, Education Quality Assessment, risk of something else. So they'll probably just say, with a communist car, we're going to call it, you know, something else. Don't think that you are the diversion now. It's going on with that. It's really tragic when everybody should be fighting the one thing I just mentioned. And you may think I'm repetitive, but the only important thing facing our country now is charter schools with unelected boards back 250 or whatever years ago. We fought the Revolutionary War over that.
It's right.
Taxation without
representation.
Now, I keep saying it. If you don't have the right to vote, you might as well be in a slave labor camp.
And that's what they're training their children for. that's exactly the end game, and that's what this is not education where we're learning reading and writing and arithmetic.
No.
This is training to be able to accept your communist master.
Right.
And if we don't tell people that, I mean, that's our education system has declined to the point that we are training children to be little global economists and work for their masters who run the global economy. That's what this is all about.
We just totally, you know, with the, I always think it's Georgia, the Professor Boyce from Georgia, he wrote a book on, I guess, education of the Soviet Union. And he said, in communist countries, and I just don't want parents to listen to this if they're not interested in anything else, but you do want your children to have some freedom in selecting what they want to do the rest of their lives. Don't forget, this is a lifelong system under the unelected council form of government, Soviet system, regionalism, et cetera. This is lifelong. So just don't think that it'll be for a little period of time when he won't be able to decide, huh? We'll all be working. I saw one of those corporation groups that said everybody's going to be involved in this Mark Tucker Carnegie plan to age 80, okay? All right, please, listen, thank you. So anyway, your son, we live in a shipbuilding area here, say Bath Iron Works, very famous for number two, I think, in the country, or number one in building ships for the military. They need 5 welders. This is school to work going in right now, and charter schools are essential for this training. That's the only reason for charter schools is workforce training. You cannot train for the workforce in the present structure of the public school system. It doesn't work. Competition, K-12, A, B, C, D, F, whatever. You cannot do it. So they've got to destroy the public school system. First, put the charter schools in. Each little charter school will train for a different profession or whatever you want to call it. So anyway, the Bath Iron Works tells the Bath school system, we need 5 welders. Well, your son has always wanted to be a welder for some odd reason. He's brilliant. He could probably be an Einstein doing something else, but he wants to be a welder. He can't be. You know why? Because he's number 6 on the list. It's a quota system.
That's right. Oh, I remember that. Yes.
If you were
slotted into being a welder and you decided you wanted to be an electrician, too bad for you.
That's right. Oh, yeah. No, you're... Well, you don't actually. Well, the thing that will happen is the school, they're going to ask the school to train for that certain number of people, you know, so they will adjust, and they're not going to overdo the, you know, do over 5 welders. That would be a waste. But I'm going back to Ronald Reagan. I really think he better be exposed for what he was. I really do think so. I mean, people, you can make excuses. What do you do when my husband was a captain of a, we had a great big schooner we had down in the West Indies. We used to do chartering. Oh, I love those days. Anyway, he, if he had an accident, and he did have one once, and it was serious, and it wasn't his fault. But he never said it wasn't his fault. Because he's the captain of the ship.
Right.
Ronald Reagan was the captain of the ship. And first of all, if he hadn't promised to get rid of the Department of Education, I might not go after him this much. But he did. He could have gotten rid of it. But let's say he couldn't even get rid of it. Well, why did he allow all these things to happen? Even say he couldn't get rid of it, which he could have, huh? Why did he allow this to happen? Why did he set up in the White House the President's White House Private Sector Initiative? Well, you know what? A lot of people wouldn't know what that is. It does sound sort of benign, doesn't it? No, what it was, and I was a liaison with the White House, so I know. I went over there. And I asked them, I just said, what are you doing? You're merging the public and private sector. Isn't this corporate fascism? I said, that's the nicest benign label I can give to it. And they said, oh, we don't know. We don't wonder anybody ever looked at it that way. Well, yeah, it was. And then after that, Washington Post, it's all the stuff in my book, Washington Post had an article about Ed Meese. I don't know, your people are too young to know who he was. Reagan's big honcho. He's still around, by the way, doing all
yes,
sorts
he is.
Uh-huh.
He
yes,
and Weinberger. Weinberger's dead. Weinberger, very important globalist. The two of them, the article states, they had this Reagan task force, they're all getting together, to change our free market economy. Because it really looks like, you know, it's everything's global now, and we have to follow the Japanese. That's fair. That's what he did. He took our right to vote away from us. Now, that's a threat? No, it's not. Because when you merge the public and private sector, how can you vote anymore? Who's responsible?
And you don't. That's
you
right.
Don't. So,
and that's what we have. We have a corporatocracy, I mean, and socialists, communists are running the whole thing. And
well,
they,
no matter
that's
what,
the
you
power.
Know,
you know what? We want to know who the puppet
them.
Master is. Look at Exxon, you know, IBM. They're the puppet master.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if people can't understand the difference between the different isms, I always say the United States is not an ism form of government or economy. We are a republic. We're not socialism. We're not meant to be socialism, communism, or fascism. Because some people say, oh, well, you know, it's not really not that bad because it's corporate fascism. Oh, yeah, oh, well, I'm glad you like that. What's more on your menu? Communism, socialism, or corporate? They're all isms.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And they all lead to the same place, which is we the people have nothing.
Right.
The elite control everything through rules and regulations that are designed to control. That's, they're not designed to save the planet from poverty or disease or anything like that. We are told that, but the purpose of all of these plans, every single one of these programs, school, not school, whatever it is to control the people, period.
Especially Agenda 21.
That's all they want to do. That's all agenda, you're right. That's all agenda 21.
Agenda 21
doesn't work unless it's taught in the schools.
You know, Richard Gardner, there was an incredible quote. I really think it's useful. In 1968, and this is, this is in regard to, and I also wrote an article called The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork. The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork. You can Google that, and you're going to find out how we were taken. It actually explains the different methods by which they, in quotes, I really call them these people are evil, how they took us down. But one of them was gradualism. And this is a good quote. It's from Richard Gardner, and he was the former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Ambassador to Italy. And here's his description. It's an accurate forewarning and picture of the environment in which American citizens of other countries live today. And it explains how the elitist planners, through the use of gradualism, have gotten us to where we world government, right? And he says here, explains the following. He said, in short, we are likely to do better by building our house of world order from the bottom up rather than the top down. It will look like a great booming, and I want you to think about this right now with the Common Core. This is why I got this quote out, because this is really relates to Common Core. It looks like a great booming and everything else, but buzzing confusion, to use Will James' famous description of reality. But an end run around national sovereignty, like, you know, just getting up and asking the people they want to vote for communism, right? An end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, slowly, is likely to get us to world order faster than the old-fashioned frontal attack. Now, he's very important. You know, he's a CFR, big time. But it's a very important quote because that's how the gradualism, you were talking about it earlier, you know, the parents and the grandparents, you know, all of us have been immersed. We've been absolutely shoved into this through the media and the education, et cetera, you know, into believing that socialism is not, is really the way to go. And you had a, down there in Florida, you had a wonderful writer, and my son has all of his newsletters from 1950 to mid-90s, which up on his website, the unbelievable history of regional government and everything you could possibly think about, especially school choice, right? Because he has a school choice article there that gives you all the federal law about any entity that takes care of children during the day, that takes tax money, is completely controlled. That's a federal law. That's in the book as well. But I'm talking about this guy from Florida, Don Bell. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yes.
He was in a concentration camp in Japan for 3 years, I think. Horrible. Well, not in Japan. He was during the war, but I think in the Philippines. And when he got out, he worked on General MacArthur. The reason I say this is you just know he's a big, very important person, wonderful person. He's not just a nobody. Hmm? He's not just one of us, you know, who's screaming and yelling, conspiracy freak, huh? Don Bell wasn't one of us. He was one of us. I think we should all claim that affiliation with Don Bell. Anyway, he came back after working for MacArthur. He knew what was happening. He knew we were moving towards the world communist system. He documented everything. I mean, there must be, hundreds of reports from Don Bell written every 2 weeks. He must have had a lot of connections with intelligence and what was going on in government. Be sure to go to AmericanDeception.com and just type in Don Bell. And you can spend, no time could ever be better spent, because you may think what Charles is talking about is what happened before. What I'm talking about is what Don Bell is going to give you the background to what you're fighting. Don Bell has all the history of what's going in right now, and it's very important to know that. I mean, like, very few people know the history of regional government, because, like, the history of education that I wrote that was boycotted, right, by the conservatives, Arch Roberts, the great Colonel Arch Roberts, and I guess Don Bell and some of our other wonderful people. Roberts was great, and he wrote on all the no-win wars and on regional, we type in them too. But their works were boycotted by the conservatives as well. I know it now because I had the same thing done to me.
But don't you, here's the thing, Charlotte. You are a pioneer whistleblower, huh? And, you know, now we're actually seeing some other people come forward. But what you're saying, and what Mr. Bell, you guys were champions probably when the Republic could have been easily saved.
Oh, absolutely. It could have been.
If we would have listened in the 60s and in the 70s, we would have had such a much better chance.
They were boycotted, although the media wasn't that bad. You could get some good stuff out. Occasionally you'd read, I find old things like David Broder. I mean, there's a Rowland Evans in 1960. This is interesting. He wrote for the Washington Post, I think. And I've got an old article of his. I don't know why I kept it. It was when the governors, after Eisenhower had signed the agreements with Khrushchev in 1958, right after that, a contingent of governors, U.S., went to the Soviet Union. I swear they got their orders right back then. And we wonder why they're putting in what they are now, the National Governors Association, the Chief State School Officers. That was 1959, the year after Eisenhower signed the first agreement with the Soviets. So Don Bell, you know, he knew all about these things, and he'll take you all the way back there. And but I do, what I see is, Don Bell, the reason I mention him is that in one of his newsletters, I can't remember which, he said in 1970, I think, that the American people are probably 90% socialist. He said that in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So, see,
I believe that.
But we went through Roosevelt years and all that liberal commie stuff and bringing these people in from Europe and, you know, the not just Leipzig connection, but the Frankfurt School, the Marxism, and we have been under attack for a long time. But as you said, everything looks good. You know, even you go into areas, I'm sure in Florida, that usually are, you know, sort of run down, like we have areas in Maine that my husband used to say, God dumped the garbage can on, right? But you know what? You don't have that much anymore because the government wants us, you know, through its federal programs going in, they fix up the sidewalks, they put little cafes in, they jazz up everything. You got your country clubs, you got your supermarkets, everything looks good, and the landscaping's nice, isn't it? Now, that is so clever, because who would ever know, looking at that, that we're about to go
right
under?
Right. You're right. You're absolutely right, and that's what these programs are designed to do. They're designed to look good. They're designed to make you feel good. They're designed to hit the right buttons to make you, to pique your emotion and your desire to do good, because that's what they're telling. You have to look at the other side, which is where they came from. And we have to understand and recognize that this crowd believes that they can do anything, say anything, as long as the ends justify their means, which is you lose, they win, and you get no choices. All you do is wind up working for the government. You know, Charlotte, I was a teacher, and I was trained in the 60s.
Yep.
And my college education went from the 60s through the 70s. I started off in Oswego, then I went to Stony Brook, and I wound up in the New School of Social Research.
Oh, boy, I went there one year. Right? Yo, how long were you there?
I took a lot of courses. I have, I think, 30 credits from there. But I was going there for a different reason, because I was learning what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
So I could go out and not do it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing when you realize that the everything was so tied together, the media, Hollywood, the messaging, everything was all the same. And it was all very, very anti-American. And I felt that they took my generation, because we were so anti-war, they used that anti-war, anti-American feeling, took those kids, my generation, and said, don't want to go to the Vietnam War? Become a teacher. We'll take your hatred and we'll rechannel it. And this was a crowd that was ripe for anything that was anti-establishment. And that's what they were promoting in school. And you began to see it through the books and through the text and through the media and the stuff that we were learning. And it was, as a teacher, I began to draw back on what I had been in school learning from the 50s. And I was looking for that information. I was looking for that history book. I was looking for those stories. They weren't there anymore. Everything was just totally changed through this, quote, modern education that we were learning. My first school that I went to was a school without walls, big rooms.
Oh, yeah,
classrooms.
Wow. Uh-huh.
You were supposed to all integrate, but not talk to
each other. Copying the English one. Yes.
Yes.
You really went there. You know what you're going to like is I've got something here. Amazing. In Maine, we've got this horrible legislation the governor's putting out for school choice and for computers and everything. It's just wretched. And as I said, can you imagine? I don't even think our communist, former communist, real commie governor would ever have dared recommend funding with tax money of religious schools. That he would not have dared to do. I think we're the first state to go that way. Anyway, he wants to fund everything. You know, he wants school to work. He wants Jeb Brown, you know, your whatever, Patricia Levesque came in here. We had our governor's conference. It was nauseating. The guy from Indiana that you have down there was in here, and it made me sick.
Oh,
anyway,
our new commissioner, Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
He's so wonderful.
So this is a letter that you're going to love this. I told you about the RISC program, the Reinventing Schools Coalition. Well, they got in a bit of trouble, and I guess teachers weren't happy back then either, about 4 years ago. And evidently the Stupski Foundation was funding it, and they pulled the funding about 2 years ago, and I don't know why they did, but they did. And if you, Stupski's really up to its eyeballs in putting this international computerized TQM thing in for the schools and training. Anyway, they pulled the funding, so the RISC program, Reinventing Schools Coalition, with a pilot was out of Alaska. That was the incredible article that David Broder wrote in the Washington Post, which I always quote, and I did earlier. You know, no K through 12, no A, B, C, D, graduated 11 or 14 or 21. And the all TQM, they upped the pilot program up in Alaska, received the Malcolm Baldrige Award. Hey, folks, are your children Cadillacs, huh? Okay. Anyway, so I found out about that program a bit back because it was written up in the Washington Post. And then I found they were putting it in here. I'm sure you have it down there. But so what they've done now is they've changed the name. It's now called Mass Customized Learning. But if you go and you look at Mass Customized Learning, you will see the name of Robert Marzano. And Robert Marzano, he studied when he was in his 20s or whatever. He was going to be a Catholic priest. And I'm really glad he didn't end up there. I think a lot of them, some of them did. It's better he got out than stayed in, like I think some of them did. And I happen to be a Catholic, too, but I think plenty did stay in of that persuasion. Anyway, so this program is now going in under Mass Customized Learning. I really believe you better look it up. Okay. So these are teachers that have gone before the RSU 18 school board and concerned parents publicly. I want to read it to you. We write to you as member, everybody out there, please listen to this, because the teachers are not happy, and they're having their lives destroyed, and I'm sure that Karen knows what I'm talking about. She talks about it, too. We write to you as members of the faculty, RSU 18 faculty, who, as they're writing as members of the faculty, who want to express the feelings of so many who are afraid to speak up. We are, don't forget that these teachers have children, and they have to pay for milk, and they have to pay for summer camp, maybe. They have to pay for everything you have to pay for. And they're taking a stand. They could easily lose their jobs. Here we go. We are sure many of you have been wondering how the schools are progressing under the newly adopted Mass Customized Learning program and what viewpoints the faculty who teach the children have developed. We must report to you that the Mass Customized Learning, I'll call it MCL, has shaken the school system to its very core. It is clear to so many teachers that this program has created utter turmoil and has single-handedly destroyed a once functional, harmonious, and effective educational program. Perhaps you have been told by central administration of the great gains that have been made in the last few months. Perhaps you have been provided with data that has shown growth in students since the school year began. And perhaps you have been told that things are just fine by the employees you have conversed with. We can tell you that you have been fed a fake bill of goods. So many of us are discussing the ill effects of this ineffective program. We are afraid to voice our opinions. We know the repercussions that would occur if we voiced our real feelings to the administration. Well, they're doing it, aren't they? They should have been talking about like this. We wallow in sadness at the poor educational model that we are forced to subject the children to. It is the children of this district that are suffering the most. The primary purpose of Mass Customized Learning is to provide personalized and diversified instruction to each child that can be measured, underscore, that's Skinner, through a system of standards. In theory, it makes logical sense that a child will benefit from instructions personalized, right? To take this concept to an extreme, one could say that the best situation for a child would be to provide them with a one-on-one teacher who would devote their entire time to providing instruction and feedback to that child. Funding does not exist to provide that level of service. The belief of this new program's theorists is such a level of service can be provided by a classroom teacher of 15 to 20 students for each of their children. In theory, to provide mass, in quotes, yet customized learning. The problem here is that the only people that truly believe this can occur are theorists. When we say, in quotes, theorists here, we really mean those who glorify it, but don't actually have to do it, such as our superintendent, J. she's pointing people. They're talking about their own people.
That's
going
right.
Ask the assistant superintendent. It is an impossible task to provide this level of instruction to each child. It's very possible, however, to sit behind a desk at a central office and create propaganda and a false sense of success. And I'm not going to go any further. I can't even find page two. But, all right. They've gone on. They've even identified some of those, you know, fancy little Talbot-dressed change agents that are fluttering around, you know, pushing the Jeb Brown school-to-work thing and LePage and all these horrible chiefs for change. Have you ever noticed the nice clothes they have? And you know, I mean,
that we're paying for.
And the slick brochures and the luncheons and the, you know, come on, folks, get off it. Do not.
You know what, Charlotte,
you
would be proud. I had a woman go to one of those meetings, and she said at the end of the meeting, she said, I stood up and I said, this is very nice, but did any of you ever read the content of the material that you're pushing on the kids?
Oh, good.
And she said not one of them said yes.
Right. Well, I went to a Heritage Foundation meeting because we're controlled by Heritage, too, here in Maine. And they had a big fancy luncheon, you know, down at the lovely restaurant on the ocean here. And, you know, white napkins, linen napkins, all that stuff, clinking glassware. And they brought Heritage's girl in, who couldn't be more than 30, who knows nothing about education, to push this whole thing. And finally, at the end, you know, I just said, you know, I just find it bizarre that this program that you're recommending is supported by the Obama administration and the Council on Foreign Relations. And I said, how can that be? And then there was, she was clever enough. I guess she'd been through change agent training. Clever enough to, you know, how they can circumvent the question and say, oh, you know, somebody gets up. It's an old lady or someone who's got to help her with her chair. So they didn't have to answer my question.
That's what they do because they have no answers. Because they
don't.
Have no...
And I don't know what's going on in Florida, but I hope you people down there I think you're fighting like mad, and you're great, but don't forget, while you fight the Communist Corps, be sure to call it Communist Corps, because that will help you to remember we're losing our right to vote at the same time. I mean, the Communist Corps, go back and read the little quote from my book, Back to Basics, initially it was in there, by your commissioner down there about the data collection, the PPBS program, which Mary Thompson is so good on. The systems management, the international systems management, your commissioner back in the 70s referred to it, and he said nobody knows what they're doing. Right?
No, they don't.
The people involved don't know what they're doing, and they won't know until the program is in, and then it will be like the atom bomb.
That's right.
And it's like
when
the atom bomb right now.
When I explain this to people, I tell them, imagine a giant jigsaw puzzle, and every single person has a little tiny piece, and nobody realizes how they all come together to create this massive mess.
That's a wonderful way to describe it. And actually, it's very much like your Florida, I think, associate commissioner, what he had to say down in Florida when they were putting it in. I mean, you've been having this stuff put in for a long, long time. And that is why I keep saying Communist Corps is not new, right? I mean, it's not new. You know, but what is new? Regional government isn't new either, you know, and unelected councils aren't new. But what is new is our handing over a whole segment of our economy to unelected councils. That is new.
Yes.
And that is what charter schools are. Charter schools are used in Russia. It's an international education system, it's the wave of the future. There will be nothing but charter schools. And they make them look good in the beginning.
And it's billions and billions of dollars, huh?
Parents, you know, you have a charter school for foreign languages. You have a charter school for art and all this and that. Do go, Karen, I hope you see that attachment that I sent from the Hull Charter Schools on the Cape in Massachusetts. It was an early document. They made a mistake. They let you know what they were doing. The whole left-hand side of that paper that we got a hold of, corporations, doctors, hospitals, you know, Harvard University, et cetera. And then it explains exactly what charter schools are. It talks about all the schools who work. It talks about how they're going to control the homeschoolers too, computers, and that's a terribly important attachment. And if you didn't get it, be sure to ask me.
I will, Charlotte, so you know, and so does everybody else, I have a really bad virus. I am on a trip. I am visiting the Tea Parties and the other groups, and I'm speaking in South Florida. I can't use my computer. I will be home on Friday, and hopefully everything will be on my desktop. If not, I will be in touch with you because this is so important. We have, going along with Agenda 21, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, if can be controlled without our representation, without our voice. They've done it with Obamacare. That's our life. They are taking away our liberty through the schools, and that's the charter schools.
Right.
And they're taking away our private property by regulations through the environment.
Yes.
So all of these things stick together, but it's really the education that makes it work because it's the indoctrination that was started then, and these people are now in our legislatures. They are the ones that are writing the rules.
Right. We, you know what? It would really be quite a miracle or rather unusual after the brainwashing that's taken place since 1965, certainly, if we had anything other than that kind of representation, wouldn't it? Because
it
they've
would
all
be.
Been
yes,
through
it would.
System.
That's right.
Huh.
You're absolutely right.
I have to look at that one. Don't, the other thing is, and then I think I got to go, and you probably want to get rid of me, but the other thing
never.
I want to mention is the,
we learned so much from you, Charlotte, we're never
going
to let you go.
The Reese Committee hearings where Norman Dodd was advised by the president of the Ford Foundation, because they were investigating the activities of the tax-exempt foundations in 1953, because they were, you know, promoting communism, especially in the schools.
Uh-huh.
And, so Norman Dodd, and I knew him personally, so I do. I certainly believe him. He's still gone now, but he was told by the president of the Ford Foundation in New York at the headquarters there, because he had to go up as part of the investigation to talk to Mr. Gaither. Mr. Gaither told Norman Dodd, he said, you know, we do not set our own agenda. Our agenda comes from the White House. That was Eisner at the time. And that agenda, we are told, to spend American money, that is, tax-exempt money, to change America in every way so that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. And that is exactly what we're looking at. And the reason they had to have the Soviet Union, Tony Paul, was so the American people would say to someone like Charlotte Isserby, you know, she's just a co-crazy. You know, the Soviet Union's dead. They had to have the fall in order to be able to put this in. That's exactly what's going in. And if you read the hearings, they're at my son's website. 3,000 pages of that stuff. I paid $3,000 for it. That one copy, there was only one left of it. The friend of mine I bought it from was offered any amount of money by one of the minions of the tax-exempt foundations in order to get it, because they didn't want the American people to see the record of that investigation. But the investigation is at AmericanDeception.com, and 3,000 pages of testimony about a lot of things that we've talked about today.
Folks,
well,
it's
a lot about what we've talked about today in Charlotte. The most important thing is that we all, every American needs to become very clear. This agenda, the UN agenda, everything is leading to one communist objective of global governance over the entire human race.
That's right.
This
every
is not just about America. This we've got to scream and shout, and that's why there's so many foreign interest. And what are we going to do? They're watching us. When is America? When are the Americans going to join this battle? When are the Americans going to express their outrage? Because they see what's being done. They've already had it done.
It's exquisite. It really is. if you go, the article I wrote, which is my favorite thing I ever wrote, The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork. If you go there,
say that again so people can write it down.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's called, you can Google it. You don't even have to go to my website. But it's not my website, but it's called The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork. And it explains exactly how they did this to us. It's diabolical, and I'll tell you a little bit how it happened. After an interview like this, where Karen's getting after all of you, and I'm getting after all of you, and your co-host is getting after all of you, I just was exhausted, and I thought, you know, it's terrible how I beat up on the audience. I'm so tired of beating up on people about 7 years ago. And all of a sudden, it was like out of nowhere. This message came, and it said, it's not their fault. And I thought, what? And then I started to have a completely different understanding, and I wrote this article. And I swear, it was just really inspired, because what I was being told was they've been victimized to seven things, right? It's gradually.
Absolutely.
The dog in the cold and the hot, heating up the water. The semantic deception, the lying words, the words they use like basic skills, they don't mean that. Basic skill is understanding the need to have to get rid of the Constitution. The use of semantic deception, critical thinking. Oh, so many people do not understand critical thinking.
No,
critical thinking is Marxist, and they don't know that. So, okay, so what would we have? Gradualism, semantic deception, the Hegelian dialectic. Brilliant. Well, how you get somebody to go along with what you want? You create a problem, get them to scream, then you come up with a solution, you present it to them. Any solution they'll take at that point, like charter schools, right? And you impose it on them. They never would have accepted it otherwise. So then you have total media control. You know, David Rockefeller and Bilderberger Group and Baden-Baden or whatever. No, at a meeting with the press in Baden-Baden in, not 2000, year 2000, told the press, thank them for keeping all of this world government agenda, et cetera, under wraps. Okay, that's media control. Multi-billions of dollars, Federal Reserve, no problem there. The Skinner method, opera conditioning, there's no way to go up against that. And leading computer specialists and scientists, I have a great document in the appendices of my book on that, where even they spent a year, over 100 of them, saying that this is very dangerous. Can you imagine? These are the computer guys who come up with all this stuff. Very dangerous creating software. If you do not agree in conscience with what you're putting on the software, you don't do it. Okay, so that's another prong of the fork. And I don't know, there probably is another one there too, but that article, I always said I didn't write it. It was one of those things that I had not really been thinking about that much. I did know about the various prongs, but it's exquisite in its evil. Nobody, not even Eisenhower. I don't mean Eisenhower. Einstein. Eisenhower could easily have him. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
He was the first one to sign the agreements with the Soviets, right? But Einstein, brilliant. Nobody in this world could ever dream up anything that exquisitely effective. But
no, you are absolutely right, folks. This crowd wants to replace the family with the school, replace God with government, and replace the United States with the United Nations. And Charlotte, as usual, you have given us a tremendous wealth of information, documented. Everything is documented on her website and her son's website. Her website is deliberatedumbingdown.com. Her son's website is americandeception.com. Folks, this is the history that you are not being told. This is the secrets that are not being relayed, and this is the truth about what we are facing. And if we don't face it as a nation together, then we're going to be doomed to experiencing it. And yesterday when I was speaking to a group, I told them, this is not going to happen in their lifetime. This was a group of seniors, but this is what their children and grandchildren will have, regardless, if we don't do something about this today.
Because as you said, Charlotte, what are we seeing right now? We're seeing all this beautiful window dressing. We're seeing, go to your golf course, go to your tennis court. The world is great. America's doing fine. We're terrific. Fair enough. Listen and read and watch and pay attention. Charlotte, it has been a wonderful experience. Thank you so much for joining John and I today. We appreciate everything, every morsel that you've given us is going to be very well digested. We really appreciate you are the extreme whistleblower, and I can't tell you what a pleasure it is and how much of an inspiration you have given me and all of the people that I work with to be able to go forward, because you have the truth. You're telling the truth, and that's what we have to get known. So,
thank you, and for all your work. I mean, all of you down there, I never really was that fond of Florida, sorry to say, but I've become very, I worked there in Ponte Vedra for a summer. I was a hostess at the inn there. So I'm not saying I don't like Florida, but I get hot down there. But I think Florida is great now. What you all are doing in Florida, I wish that people in every state, where they need people like you, Karen, and Diane, and all these wonderful people that are doing that. Karen Bracken now, you know, what's she in, Georgia?
Karen is in Tennessee, and John found two wonderful people, Angie and Karen, in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So more and more and more people are popping up, they're beginning to recognize, they're beginning to realize. But folks, don't listen to me, don't listen to Charlotte. Go pick up one of your children's books. Demand that something be brought home.
Yes.
And look at those lessons. Look at what they're saying. Look at what the kids are reading. And then you have your outrage right in your hand to take to your school board.
Yeah,
and
you're
get
right. Go ahead and get now. You know what? You won't be able to do that for long. You hurry up.
That's
getting
right.
Rid of all the books.
That's right.
They
get
took all
involved.
The books out of the little school down in Louisiana, I understand, that or Texas. It was in Texas, the Hispanics. And they had a great library there. And charter school came in, you know, corporation, and took all the books out. And then guess what they did? They just took all the desks out. Rather, they took all the books out. They put desks in and computers. So, because there will be no more books.
No more books.
Bad idea.
Everybody gets an iPad.
Yeah. How fast can you change history on an iPad? Thank you, Will, for joining us today. This is Karen Schoen with our guest Charlotte Isleby and John Estabrooks, and we will be back again next week. You're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio on American Statesman, Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please visit our website, Agenda21Today.com. Visit Charlotte's website. Listen to her YouTubes. If you don't want to read, that's okay. Go and listen to one of her YouTubes. Everything is there. It's all documented. This is the truth, and we need your help to spread it. So remember, folks, victory is our only option, and you must be victorious. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Okay.
Hi.
We are done. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.